Chapter 4. I took my boat out that night after work to get away from Deb's questions and to sort through what I was feeling. Feeling? Me? Feeling? What a concept. I nosed my whaler slowly out the canal, thinking nothing, a perfect Zen state, moving at idle speed past the large houses, all separated from each other by high hedges and chain-link fences. I threw an automatic big wave and bright smile to all the neighbors out in their yards that grew neatly up to the canal's seawall. Kids playing on the manicured grass. Mom and Dad barbecuing or lounging or polishing the barbed wire, hawkeyes on the kids. I waved to everybody. Some of them even waved back. They knew me, had seen me go by before. Always cheerful, a big hello for everybody. He was such a nice man, very friendly. I can't believe he did those horrible things. I opened up the throttle when I cleared the canal, heading out the channel and then southeast, toward Cape Florida. The wind in my face and the taste of the salt spray helped clear my head, made me feel clean and a little fresher. I found it a great deal easier to think. Part of it was the calm and peace of the water. And another part was that in the best tradition of Miami watercraft, most of the other boaters seemed to be trying to kill me. I found that very relaxing. I was right at home. This is my country. These are my people. All day long at work, I'd gotten little forensic updates. Around lunchtime, the story broke national. The lid was coming off the Hooker murders after the grisly discovery at the Cacique Motel. Channel 7 had done a masterful job of presenting all the hysterical horror of body parts in a dumpster without actually saying anything about them. As Detective LaGuerta had shrewdly observed, these were only hookers. But once public pressure started to rise from the media, they might as well be senators' daughters. And so the department began to gear up for a long spell of defensive maneuvering. Knowing exactly what kind of heart-rending twaddle would be coming from the brave and fearless foot soldiers of the Fifth Estate. Deb had stayed at the scene until the captain began to worry about authorizing too much overtime, and then she'd been sent home. She started calling me at 2 in the afternoon to hear what I'd discovered, which was very little. They'd found no traces of anything at the motel. There were so many tire tracks in the parking lot that none were distinct. No prints or traces in the dumpster, on the bags, or on the body parts. Everything USDA inspection clean. The one big clue of the day was the left leg. As Angel had noticed, the right leg had been sectioned into several neat pieces, cut at the hip, knee, and ankle. But the left leg was not. It was a mere 2 sections, neatly wrapped. "Aha," said Detective LaGuerta, Lady Genius. Somebody had interrupted the killer, surprised him, startled him, so he did not finish the cut. He panicked when he was seen, and she directed all her effort at finding that witness.